the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, for tuning in, for joining us, for being part of our family of listeners and supporters. Thanks so much for your prayers and your word of mouth. It means a lot to us. We have a very special guest with us, a man who's could be heard on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Excuse me. And who's been on the air longer than I have, obviously. He's a legend, I believe, in the broadcasting industry, but he's a fantastic investigative researcher, investigative reporter, citizen journalist, official investigator, that is. I could sing his praises, but I just heard something. He is going to be a recipient of the Prague Peace Prize. John Moore from the John Moore Show. John Moore, thank you so much for joining us. John.
Thank you, Doug. Good to be here. Appreciate it.
What's this I hear about you?
Well, it came out of the blue. I was contacted. It's been between 2 and 3 months ago by Alexandra Berg. She's the person putting this together. It's the second or third year of these prizes, and it hit me out of the blue. I had no idea it was coming. So I'm being awarded the Prague Peace Prize the weekend of the 21st and 22nd, I think it is, of July, mainly based on my work that's on my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, and, of course, my continuing work that I put out of my radio show Monday through Friday.
It's amazing. Well, congratulations, sir. So you're going to be going to the Czech Republic mid-July to receive the Prague Peace Prize based on your work in the DVD product that you have concerning global warming, climate change, essentially, is what you're saying.
The deception put out by the government to cover up what's really going on.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow, that is absolutely tremendous. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I cannot think of wow. Yeah, it just blew me away right before airtime. John says, oh, by the way. You know, so I think it's pretty cool. Well, John, for new listeners, we've got many. Introduce yourself to our new listeners, if you don't mind, where they can hear you, and just introduce yourself. Take a moment.
Okay. Well, starting from the beginning, as I sometimes say, U.S. Military Intelligence School took my very mature 19-year-old pile of mush brain and made it into something useful. They made it into a research tool. I became an intelligence analyst at age 19. Got off the plane in Vietnam 15 months after I graduated from high school. And that's where I grew up. As I sometimes say, Doug, I went there a boy, came back a man. Spent another year and a half in the Army. I was in psychological warfare when I was in Vietnam and wrapped up my active tour of duty with the U.S. Army Special Forces at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Left the Army, got my degree as a paralegal, and within 6 months of that designation, I started my training as a private investigator. That was the spring of 1973. I was shortly hired after that, about 3 months into my training, by the state of Missouri to become a homicide detective and work my first double homicide in the fall of 1973. So that's how I spent most of my adult life, Doug, is doing criminal investigations, civil investigations, trial preparation, more murders than I care to think about, and still doing them. I was talking to a young attorney today. He's young enough to be my son, about a couple of murders and how he's wants to bring me in on a criminal case that he's got. I became a radio talk show host in 1995, part-time, and full-time now these last, I guess, almost 10 years, full-time with Republic Broadcasting. My show is broadcast Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time on Republic Broadcasting. And all the archives and the live shows can be listened to from my website at thelibertyman.com.
Good job. And, yeah, thanks for that recap. Many new listeners, and I didn't want to leave anything out. I'll just add this. Your investigative work, again, is very well respected. You had the opportunity to second share in a number of cases in your capacity.
Well, I wear both hats. You see,
right.
Being a paralegal, I know the rules of evidence. and I know court procedures. So, yeah, I've served as second chair in some very serious matters.
And I like to remind people about that, because to me there's no higher distinction for a non-attorney, but for an investigator, for a paralegal, and wearing both hats, than the second chair in certain cases. And I've got a since you're doing consultations, I do have a and I'm being serious about this. I've got a case that it's an unsolved homicide. I would like your consult on. So we'll have to talk off air.
We can talk off air about that, obviously.
Yeah, of course. But you talk about PIs, folks. John was a PI when. Of course, I was a PI back in the early 80s, John, in the early 70s. That's when private investigators actually used shoe leather as opposed to the technology.
Oh, yes.
You know, we could swap stories all day, I'm sure.
I had an account with TransUnion back then. this is fun. People appreciate this. In 1973, Doug, I could walk into the TransUnion where I had my account. I could get anybody's, and I mean anybody's, complete credit report.
Yep. Yep.
Anybody's. Anywhere in the country.
Yep. Let that sink in, folks. 1973. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And we remember the index code at the DMV. Never mind. Anyway, yeah, the coal directories and going to the library and anyway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and hunting through 3x5 cards in the courthouse for hours and hours and hours. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So you've got my respect for all of the dues that you paid. Well, John, we were thinking about you today as events unfolded in D.C. And of course, since we last spoke, the entire landscape of America and really of the world has changed. You really have your finger on the pulse of things via your radio show. Of course, John Moore is our guest. LibertyMan.com is his website. But John, where do you want to start? Because there's so many important things that we really need to talk about. But why don't you?
Okay. Well, the hot news today, obviously, is the shooting in Arlington, Virginia. I was telling my listeners this morning that if they don't already, the Capitol Police should have the same training, equipment, and weapons that the Secret Service does. And this may be a wake-up call for congressmen who think they're living in a safe and secure bubble, that they need guns too, because there's been quite a few comments among the congressmen who are on the scene that they would either be seriously injured or dead if it wasn't for the two Capitol Police who happened to be there, because the House Majority Whip was there. If it hadn't been for the House Majority Whip and his two security officers, the loss of life would have been tremendous. They were there. Their training kicked in, and they attacked the attacker and brought him down, despite being injured themselves. So I commend those two officers, one man, one woman, for doing an excellent job of saving innocent life. And, I would like to see, Washington D.C., allow people to carry concealed. That needs to happen. It really, really needs to happen. Now, Virginia has concealed carry, of course. All 50 states do. But I'm not sure what it takes to even carry a concealed weapon in Washington, D.C. Do you have any idea, Doug?
In D.C., I think it's pretty difficult for a concealed weapon permit.
That's my belief.
I really don't know. But what a difference it would have been had the Capitol Police or had that security detail not been there.
Oh, it would have been a huge tragedy.
Rand Paul.
Senator Rand Paul was there. I mean, my God, the carnage would have been tremendous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, Rand Paul actually said that if it wasn't for the Capitol Police, it would have been a massacre.
It would have been.
And I wonder, I know that the shooter did not make it onto the field, and he started shooting from behind the fence on the third base side. And if he wasn't met, if he wasn't met by the Capitol Police in their return fire, I wonder, you know, would he obviously, without that resistance, he would have came on the field and mowed everybody down.
Of course he would have. Now, I understand he also was a regular visitor to that YMCA right there near the premises.
Yes.
So he had knowledge about what was taking place there, and that it would be a easy targets, or he thought easy targets. He, I don't know if the Capitol Police were playing clothes or if they were in uniform. They were probably playing clothes. But certainly very fortunate they were there.
Indeed.
Yes.
What do you think, John, what do you think will be the result of this shooting? You hear on the news, we've been listening to the various networks all day long. Your thoughts as to, will this change anything, I guess, is my question to you, in your estimation.
I'd say there's a greater chance with this matter than with many others, because these men now know that they don't live in a safe and secure bubble, that they're just as vulnerable as us, as the rest of us barefoot peasants, as I refer to myself, or barefoot hillbillies, as I refer to myself. But they are just as vulnerable. They're just human beings, and they don't live in a safe and secure bubble. So if anything would motivate these men to have, for example, a nationwide concealed carry permit, which we really do desperately need, this would be the kind of thing to motivate them to get that done.
Yeah, I totally agree. The reciprocity needs to, we need to have a state and district reciprocity with respect to concealed carry. I believe that. The civility, by the way, John, that we've been seeing, or lack thereof, our last guest, Peter Chowka, I had asked, who do you think will own this? You know, everyone, it seems like there's always this ownership of an event like this. And you combine the lack of civility we've been seeing with respect to the politics and the politicians and the left and the right.
Well, that brings up the identity of the shooter. He was a volunteer for the Bernie Sanders campaign. And, the rhetoric has been off the charts crazy. I don't know the psychological makeup of this gentleman, but I sometimes refer to people having what I call, Doug, a loose grip on reality. And if you take somebody who already has a loose grip on reality, may already be taking psychotropic drugs, then the off-the-charts crazy rhetoric might just be all it takes to push them over the edge. And that may very well be what we saw today.
Okay. Yeah, you look at this man's background. What, 66 years old, Sanders supporter,
owned a home inspection business,
right? Which was out of business, basically, or unlicensed
since the election.
In Virginia for what, 5 weeks? And I know, John, you always look at the motive, means, and opportunity. I just wondered, out of all the potential targets, this particular target. I would not even know. I don't think the baseball practice would be going on. It wouldn't occur to me. I don't know. The choice of targets was just, I found rather interesting, I suppose.
Well, what was interesting about that is, sorry to jump in here, John, but one thing we didn't mention. Go ahead, John.
It was elegant. He was not, he lived nearby. He was at that YMCA all the time, and he knew those guys practiced there. So he had knowledge that his intended targets would be there, and he took advantage of that. Trying to do anything violent on Capitol Hill is very, very difficult. The security is excellent. But a YMCA in Arlington, Virginia, hey, go for it. He may or may not have known about the security officers being there, but he took the chance, and he achieved his goal of attacking what he considered his enemy, the conservative Republicans. And as someone told me this morning, these weren't rhinos. These were genuine, bona fide conservative Republicans, not Republicans pretending to be conservative, what we call rhinos, which is an acronym for Republican in name only. These guys were the real deal that he was attacking.
And one thing I heard a number of congressmen who were there right before the shooting talk about was the fact that he apparently asked people who were there if they were Democrats or Republicans who were practicing in the field, and
that's
then exactly walked away, and 10 minutes later came back shooting.
That's exactly what he did. Yep.
And I think that lends credibility to the argument that he was, you know, radicalized by the media. And normally I wouldn't, we saw, some violence that has been blamed on, you know, Rush Limbaugh and the right wing talk shows, as they're called. And I never really put too much stock into that. But you know, the reason this is different is because this is what the media has been doing with Trump is manufacturing facts or false evidence against him and then reporting that in the news as though it's truth. These people That's right. really believe that Trump is a racist, that he is, you know, all these terrible things, you know, a violent, hateful man, and right. they believe it. And then, as you said, it also takes us a little instability in the wrong day, even, and this is the result that happens.
Well, I'll be interested to see the toxicology report or if he was taking psychotropic drugs. There was what is it, Doug? About 20% of American adults take psychotropics.
One in five.
One in five. Yeah, that's 20%. I got a quote here from the governor of Virginia today. Quote, Governor McAuliffe, Democrat governor of Virginia. We have too many guns on the streets. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
It didn't take him long. That was this morning.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. One of the CNN, or I believe this was on CNN, I spoke about it earlier. Reporter, it was a female reporter asking, I think it was a member of Congress, do you think this was deliberate? And the response was, well, sure as hell wasn't an accident. which I thought was the line of the day. You know, that had to be.
Well, they hire these youngsters out of J school and they give them these jobs, and they're doing the best they can with their limited ability there, Doug.
Yeah, exactly. well, John, what bothers me right now is the environment that we find ourselves. You've got this in New York City and the Shakespearean play. Taking place. You've got Kathy Griffin with the decapitated Donald Trump head. You've got you go back earlier to the Hamilton play, the disrespect shown to our vice president. You've got, and I said this yesterday, they're not just attempting to kill the president, whether metaphorically or not. They're attempting to kill and destroy the presidency of the United States.
And they are.
And I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
Nothing even close. Nothing right. even close.
Right. So, they're succeeding to me. I mean, to me, I think that they're succeeding. What are your thoughts on how Donald Trump is being handled with respect to the special, not prosecutor, but special, counsel and the investigation?
Well, we could say we're well into the second year. Now, Donald Trump announced his presidency around January 2016, I believe, maybe earlier. But well into the second year of the following, Donald Trump playing the media like a cheap violin. The media, they haven't got it yet. The media hasn't figured out that every time Donald Trump says he has done something or will do something, he does, in fact, has done it or will do it. And they keep falling for the same bait. Donald Trump's playing these people. They keep falling for the same bait where they think they're going to make Donald Trump look like a fool, and then he makes them look like a fool over and over and over again. And I love it because he's the first politician. He's not a politician, actually. He's the first statesman, I would call him, at that level, who is not afraid of the media. All the rest of these people, these running for president at that level, they cower before the media. Donald Trump doesn't cower before anybody. He takes them on head on. He bypasses them with his tweets. He's giving press credentials to Alex Jones and others and getting ready to deny press credentials to people like the New York Times. It's wonderful.
And
he will.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, Doug. And it's just refreshing to see somebody who is not fearful of the mass media, who goes around them with his tweets. I was a bit concerned about these tweets for quite a while, but the more I see what he's doing, the more I understand the reason behind it, because he's bypassing the media. He's having direct contact with the entire country anytime he wants without having to have a press conference. This is unprecedented. Even Hussein Obama didn't do this.
That's true.
It is. And I would love to see him move forward to look into other things. And what's happening behind the scenes You know, your average workday for the president is probably 8 to 10 hours. That's 8 to 10 hours of dismantling Hussein Obama's 8 years every day of the week. Getting rid of people he appointed, dismantling executive orders that he ordered, cleaning house and these various executive branch offices that need to be cleaned out. There's a lot to it. There's over 1,000 appointees of Obama that need to be cleaned out, and the people they appointed. Now think about this, Doug. We know there's been about a dozen or 15 or 16 Muslims appointed at very high levels in various agencies, yep. High enough that they also could appoint other Muslims. I don't know, and hopefully there's somebody that does, how many Muslims were appointed under the Obama administration that need to be found out, and quite frankly, given their pink slips. That needs to happen. We cannot trust these people. Their religion gives them a free pass to lie, to accomplish their goals, and their goals are not in the best interest of Western civilization. The Muslims need to go. Absolutely, they do.
Amen. And we've been watching, we've been following the... And, John, I'm not sure how much you're aware of the Awan brothers, the congressional, the break-ins of the congressional staff computers back yep. earlier this year.
I'm aware of it, yes.
Okay. You know, it seems to me that we've got this, we've got this communist and Islamic infiltration deeply embedded within the American government. And you know, and I know I've listened to you enough to know that you're right on the money. I mean, you're good with the historical component after World War II, how the communists infiltrated our State Department, our government, and now it's a communist / Islamic component. That as well as, and I'd like your comments as well, on Obama's presence in Washington, his establishment of American oversight, 501c3, C4, that does nothing but exist for no other reason than to go after President Trump, filing ethics charges and legal charges and challenges, to gum up the works, this by Obama. And as you pointed out, the Muslim component too. So you've got all of this working against Donald Trump. I mean, what the heck? I've never seen anything like this, and I know you're...
No, there's no precedent. Now, President Hussein Obama, if he was CEO of a Fortune 500 company and played golf as much as he played golf, the board of directors would have fired him in a heartbeat. You can't be CEO of the United States as president or of a Fortune 500 company and play that much golf. The person running the country when Hussein Obama was president was a communist Muslim, Valerie Jarrett. And now she's moved in. She has her own living quarters in that, what's the square feet of that house Obama bought? 20,000 square feet?
Yeah, it's just about 2,000 square feet more than mine. So
it's massive. And she's there she has 8x10 glossy photos of, Muhammad and Mao Zedong over her bed, and she's a communist Muslim, and it was revealed publicly what she said in her college yearbook about incrementally taking over the United States using our own laws against us for Islam to take over the United States. I'm paraphrasing, but she's back to her old tricks, doing everything she can to use George Soros money and other sources of funding to undermine not only the presidency, but the country itself. And many of the agendas, work together to lower the moral standards of our country, make, the insane become normal. We have, teenage girls and their parents hiring attorneys so the teenage girls can walk into the high school boys' locker room, take off her clothes, take a shower with the boys, dry off with the boys, and put her clothes back on, and then leave the boys' locker room. Are there adults in charge, Doug? I mean, this is absolutely insane. But that's what's taking place. And all these agendas and the money behind them are all connected. They are not standalone items. Don't even think that for a moment.
No, you're absolutely right, John. We have about a minute before the break, and there's a number of things that we want to get into with you on the other side. Back to the congressional shooting today, we have a question from an emailer, and they want to know if this was the opening of Pandora's box, kind of like what you said, Dad, saying that the left and the right both seem to be unhinged, and wanting to know if we think, and if you think, John, that this is just the beginning of this politically motivated violence that we're going to see. Are we going to see an increase of?
And I've got another emailer asking the same question in the context, John, of your investigative experience, in having having watched the events of today. So, yeah, folks, John Moore is our guest. His show airs 9 to 11 Eastern. That's 8 to 10 Central. Republic Broadcasting Network, thelibertyman.com is his website. We're so grateful to have him on tonight. John Moore, John, stay right where you're at. Three minutes, network break.
We'll pick up a question from Tom about the violence on the other side. Folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trained Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainedpersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thank Thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
We've gotten emails about from people, so many people who listen to them, of course, Republic Broadcast Network, that is 8 to 10 Central AM, 8 to 10 AM Central Time, 9 to 11 Eastern Time. Fantastic, very popular radio program. John first fought terrorism back in 1967 in the streets and alleys of Vietnam. He's a war vet. 57 missions, I believe. Former member of the Green Beret. He's also a PI, certainly a tremendous investigator and also a paralegal. He's got a lot of great experience and a lot of great information, insight into especially things that are going on today. Joe, right before the break, you were, and I think we interrupted you, with a question. There's a question that by one of our listeners. We got more too, but go ahead.
We got a question from Tom W. And he wants to know, with Kathy Griffin's beheading Trump and the Shakespeare play of killing Trump and today's shooting, was Pandora's box opened? He goes on to say, there are crazies on all sides. And is this now open season for shooters? Today's shooting was out in the open, no holds barred, very scary. Has open season begun? John, do you think this will embolden other people?
Well, it's highly likely that it will. The police are always concerned about copycat killers. And, one of the things police are doing, I would say maybe 8 or 10 years ago, they intentionally stopped, publicizing the name of the shooters in these mass murders, to help, retard, the people getting the idea that they'll become famous if they engage in that kind of activity. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it does make some sense. So to answer whether Pandora's box has been opened, well, that's a wait and see thing. It's a question that can't be answered until some period of time has passed. But I have to object. I'm not aware of any body on the right taking engaging in acts of violence that I'm aware of recently. Are you, Doug?
No, not at all.
Ones with the guns.
No.
And folks, there's an article I put up on Hagman Report, and it is from the Daily Caller, shooting a GOP baseball practice, latest in pattern of violence against Republican. This details, since the inauguration, a whole laundry list of different incidences that have happened. Obviously, today seems to be the most severe, but it goes through how a number of Republicans at town hall meetings were threatened with death threats, were assaulted physically. It goes through, you know, the Berkeley riots with Milo. It's a good article and a good write-up at speaking to the uptick in violence against Republicans and that trend.
Well, it'd be conservatives, I would say, as opposed to Republicans. It would be conservatives, the conservative ideology, in my view. And that's been under attack. John, let me ask you a question about the conservative ideology. You mentioned this before about Donald Trump bypassing the media via his Twitter, which I think is, well, you know, is a brilliant maneuver. What about censorship of the media? Have you been experiencing heightened censorship attacks to kind of keep your ideology tampered down?
Well, not personally. My agreement with station management was it's my 2 hours to do anything I want with. And it's, you know, I've been there now for, 12 years, and that's remains unchanged. Now, I do have my own private YouTube channel. There's been no issues with that for quite a while. There was one, it's been 7 or 8 years ago. We got it cleared up. There was some allegation I was violating community standards, and sure, that was baseless, and we showed them it was baseless. So I've not experienced that myself. Republic Broadcasting is very independent, so it's not been an issue for me personally. How about you, Doug?
Well, we have, and it's been a very asymmetrical pattern of warfare that's been levied against us. And, you know, Sean Hannity was recently, he recently came out, I think it was April 24th or 27th when he came out, and made a statement in his opening monologue about, having enough of people spreading lies about him and such. And he was referring to a one particular blogger that made some serious allegations that was suggestive of sexual harassment. I know this person. In fact, I have been named by this individual as plagiarizing her work, or just ridiculous allegations. So right. I understand. So we are experiencing it in very similar ways. And our sponsors, for example, they've been contacted. You know, they're being, I don't want to say harassed, but whatever would be a lighter term of harassed, you know, don't, how can you possibly sponsor their program? They're hate mongers. They're, right. You know, they're idiots, basically. And of course, whenever we talk about a certain topic, I mean, we'll get the occasional used condom in the mail. You know, that level of harassment. And certain, there are a few other things that I won't get into, but yeah, you know, it's been kind of a changed environment out there that does reflect the decrease in civility by the left. But so to answer your question, thanks for asking, that's kind of where we're at. And of course, the lawfare part too, I'll just let you know, it's no secret. You know, we've been subjected to, in my view, my personal opinion, and I have to say that, vexatious litigation that's designed only, in my personal opinion, to bleed us of money, take us off the air, bankrupt us, and to preoccupy us to keep us off the important subject. So all of that said, yeah. Kind of between Alex Jones and Sean Hannity, if you will. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And hang in there, Doug. I mean, you got to stand up to these people and throw it right back at them. And when they lose their lawsuits, you need to be asking for damages, of course.
No, that's coming. Believe me.
All right. All right.
You buckle up. Okay, John, what's on your heart today? In terms of, I mean, you've got so much knowledge, and you've got so much knowledge of the landscape. What are you most concerned about today, right now, today?
Right. Well, there's several things that are talked about occasionally, but the national debt, the unfunded national debt. I was talking to a friend today earlier about this. The historical precedent for countries that are doing what we're doing in terms of debt will not have a good ending. There's only two ways it can end up. Either repudiation of the debt, which means they won't be able to borrow any more money, so that's not going to happen, or making it go away with hyperinflation, which is obviously the choice they're going to have. Now, it's been said that they could start a war and fund ourselves out of the national debt with a war, but I don't see how those numbers can possibly work. This is not 1940. We didn't have a national debt of any consequence in 1940. All they would do would create more debt on top of the already existing debt if we went to war, so I don't see that as a win-win situation at all. But war is a possibility. North Korea, a client state of China. Nothing happens in North Korea without the advice and consent of China. To think otherwise is foolish. There'd be no North Korea if it wasn't for China. That could be a flashpoint for World War III. Syria, obviously. We have troops, American troops, in violation of international law on Syrian soil right now. That's an act of war. Russian troops on Syria soil, invited by Syria, and active attempts to overthrow the Syrian government. Russia's not going to tolerate that. Russia has a warm water deep port on Syrian territory that is vital for Russian national security. It's not going to be given up. That will not happen. So we're in a lose-lose situation there, messing around with these ancient peoples, these ancient beliefs, these ancient hatreds that make no sense to Westerners, but that's what these people are. So another flashpoint there. We do have enemies that would like to see the United States crumble. China would love to take over the United States, and so would Russia. Their goals since 1917 have not changed. You mentioned my historical perspective. And I always go back to the books written by Anatoly Golitsyn. Now, this is very foundational. People need to understand what the real threat of communism is. It's generational. It's not year by year. Anatoly Golitsyn wrote escaped from Russia, defected, during the Kennedy administration. So more than half a century ago. And he attempted to brief the CIA and MI5 in England, CIA here and MI5 in England, what he did, what he learned, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, when he worked in the KGB in long-range planning. They didn't believe him. They basically told him he needed a tinfoil hat. So in 1984, he wrote his book, New Lies for Old. In his book, he wrote about the Berlin Wall coming down. He wrote about the East European communist countries collapsing and becoming what appear to be democracies. The collapse of the Soviet Union, it appearing to become a democracy. All those things did happen 5 years after his book was published. And he also said the goal was to give the impression that communism was no longer a threat, so the West would disarm and thereby be vulnerable to being invaded and taken over. That's exactly what's happened, Doug. We have disarmed while the Russians have been building up their armaments. And there's an excellent Hollywood thing that people can look at themselves. The TV show America spelled with a K. It was hugely popular miniseries. You probably saw it yourself when it first came out, Doug, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
1984, 1985, along there.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
The miniseries begins 10 years after Russia takes over the United States. And I watched this thing 2 or 3 times. They never tell you how that happened in the miniseries. It does not happen. However, there was a book that the miniseries is based on, and it has a prologue. In the prologue, which is only about 3 pages long and is duplicated on my website, so you can read it. In the prologue, they tell you, and this is more than 30 years ago, they tell you how Russia took over the United States. Do you know how it was?
I give up.
EMP. An EMP attack. Now, that should make the hair grow up on the back of your neck. Yeah. Yeah, that was more than 30 years ago. That book was published, and the miniseries was based on that book. EMP is the ideal weapon. What the Russians and Chinese want is not our stuff. They don't want the people. We're a bunch of fat, lazy people. What they want is between the Rocky Mountains and the East Coast, especially the Midwest, the most productive agricultural growing area on the planet. That's what they want.
Oh.
Now, EMP would not cause harm to that. Wouldn't cause harm to the locks and dams. Wouldn't cause harm to the highways. Wouldn't cause harm to the airports. All the critical infrastructure, except for electronics, would still be in place, ready to be replaced and taken over and run by the Russians and Chinese. That's the goal, Doug. That's the ultimate goal right there.
You said a lot, and we, of course, have been, we've talked to Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, for example, and others about the EMP threat.
They don't need missiles. Now, I've interviewed Dr. Pry also, and I've read his book, and I've read his report. Here's what people keep, the media especially, they keep focusing on North Korea's missile capability.
Right.
Now, would it be a fair statement, Doug, to say that cocaine and heroin are smuggled into this country by people who can barely read and write by the ton every year?
You okay? Sure.
Okay. That's a fair statement. Would also be a fair statement that a foreign intelligence agency with really bright, college-educated men and women could bring nuclear weapons in this country?
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Do they need missiles? No. All they need is weather balloons.
Oh.
You get the weapons high enough up. You do it in the daytime. There's no flash. There's no noise. There's just an EMP. And all you need is weather balloons. You don't need missiles. In fact, you could launch some weather balloons like the Japanese did off the coast of California and let the wind bring them east. All you need is a cargo ship out there in the Pacific Ocean, weather balloons, and nuclear weapons, and the wind patterns will do the rest. Launch them off the cargo ships, they get over the United States, get them up about 20, 30 miles, set them off, you got your EMP.
Very low tech, but very effective. And well, I'm gonna, yeah.
Yeah, another thing. While we're on a roll here, there's about, if you read Dr. Pryor's report, there's about 19 or 20 electrical substations in the United States. We got three power grids, East Mississippi, West Mississippi, and Texas. You don't need explosives. You don't need weapons. To destroy these power substations, a trip to Ace Hardware, True Value, Lowe's to pick up hacksaws, hammers, come-alongs, picks to destroy electric power stations. That's all you need to destroy them. Simple hardware store tools. You don't need weapons. You don't need tools. Explosives, excuse me. All you need is simple hand tools. You don't even need power tools to bring down these substations and destroy them nationwide.
Why hasn't this happened yet, number one? And number two, why haven't we hardened the systems that we have?
Well, Dr. Pryor has almost given up of hardening the national power grid. You know how they spend money in Washington there, Doug? For the cost of 1 1/3 B-1 bombers, we got about 100 B-1 bombers. 10 of them have been used to blow the hell out of the Middle East. They send, they're all nice and shiny, waiting to be used. But for the cost of 1 1/3 B-1 bombers, they could harden the national power grid. It hasn't happened. It came close. They were one vote away. A female senator from Alaska was the deciding vote not to do it. Dr. Pryor is now advocating each state isolate its own individual power grid with the authority of the state's governors. That would have some hope of working in some of the 48 states. It doesn't include Alaska or Hawaii, of course.
Right.
Some hope of making some of these states isolated and islanded from the rest of the power grid. I'm not aware of that having happened yet, but that's our best hope at the moment, is some of these states isolate their power grid. Texas is already isolated, so that, I guess, they don't count since they already have their own state power grid. Why it hasn't happened yet? Well, our enemies have an agenda. They have a timeline, and they haven't told me. when it's time for them to do what they're going to do, then they will make their move. And that's privileged information that I will never have access to, Doug.
Well, I think, John, thinking about this, looking at how divided our country is, we began our segment talking about the divisiveness in this country. That only works in the favor of our enemies, and I can see that through that divisiveness, I can just see where this could devolve into a civil war-like situation. You know, maybe not a full blown civil war, but certainly enough to allow us to be weakened enough to be overtaken once that happens.
Well, and that may be the goal. George Soros was behind the Ferguson riots. In fact, the local network TV stations in St. Louis, my hometown, were even reporting George Soros money behind the rioters, which shocked me, but they did. So once again, I believe George Soros money will fund civil disorder in the major cities, causing possible riots, shutdowns of limited square miles in these cities, possible martial law in the cities. Won't be nationwide martial law, won't need to be. But if these cities start burning, martial law will be declared. They'll have no choice.
Sure.
Or martial law, bring in the troops.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at, I don't know about to the extent of a civil war. I can see civil unrest in certain areas, D.C. area, Portland. But as far as a nationwide civil war, I just don't see it unless there is some kind of event that happens. Like you talked about, John, an EMP would definitely do it. Even a financial collapse would.
What you were saying about the unfunded liability, are we exposed there? My goodness, go ahead.
With the economy, John, any thoughts, and I've been asking guests this lately, any thoughts on the current housing market? And I ask that in the context of, are we in a similar position as we were in 2007 with the housing market collapse in 2008?
Well, funny you should ask that. There's a, it wasn't just the housing market, but the entire stock and bond market in the end of September 2008. There's an archive that anybody can listen to on my website. The last Sunday of June 2008 on my program, which you can listen to the archive, I issued a warning, sell all stocks and bonds before the end of September because of the soon-to-happen worldwide crash of the stock and bond market. That was contrived, and that warning came from a bank gentleman that I think in 5 or 6 years, they finished their third century of being a bank, and they start their fourth century, the Royal Bank of Scotland, RBS. They issued that warning to their own customers. I got my hands on it. I put the warning out myself. And people dug our age, the baby boomers, lost tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in their investments they had set up for their retirement. The housing market, getting back to your question, Joe, it's overpriced again in many markets. Young people are finding themselves priced out of the market. There was just, I listened to National Public Radio for opposition research, and there was a story this evening about young people being priced out of the market in many parts of the country where these houses, once again, are experiencing a bubble of unrealistic prices. And young people in general have severe economic situation going on with the high levels of taxation, the high cost of living, and I don't blame millennials for staying with their parents. These tax codes and the taxes they pay are just robbing them. And when I got my first job in 1966, the government took $1 out of $10 from me for taxes. That's all they took. My weekly pay was $100. I could go to a Chevrolet dealership and buy an okay used car from a Chevrolet dealership for $100. I could pay my college tuition. It was $300 for a semester. And that's all because of the low rate of taxes that were going on at the time. We had a very prosperous nation back then because the taxes were minimal compared to they are now. It's basically half of people's paycheck goes to the government. And it's no wonder that people can't get by or buy a house or have a decent life with that level of taxation.
Very true, brother.
It is. It is. And then you look at the real estate prices and the prices for rent and houses in San Francisco or even some of the bigger cities where even people who are making, you know, between $100,000 and $250,000 a year can't afford a house.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It is. It's crazy.
John Moore is going to, he is a Prague Peace Prize recipient. He will be collecting, or receiving his, or the, Prague Peace Prize middle of July of this year. Congratulations to John Moore. John, it's great to hear that, and that is for your work on the global warming deception.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
If you want to,
I got a follow up on that. I got a follow up. One of my listeners, and I can't take credit because my listeners have time to do this and I don't. I had a listener several years ago found an image on the 1972 Godfather film, North America with New Coastlines. It was a mural in a Vatican meeting room of North America with New Coastlines. Nothing happened for 2.5 years until January this year. A listener found another image on the Highway Patrol. Broderick Crawford, 1957. You probably watched it when he was a kid like I did, Doug.
Oh, absolutely. I just saw that. I don't know where I saw that, but go on.
Well, Crawford is a homicide detective with the Highway Patrol, California, and he's in the office of an oil executive talking about the murder case. It's all black and white, of course. That's the nature of that show. On the wall behind Crawford is a 3x5 foot map of North America, and Doug, it's my map. It is my map on my DVD. Almost to the mile. And it shows an inland sea where the Mississippi River is 200 miles wide, East Coast underwater, Florida gone, and Texas partly underwater, and the West Coast partly underwater. And neither character mentions this map at all. It's just there. Now, since then, we've found the following films. Hunger Games, A Beautiful Mind, Superman Returns, Dancing with the Stars, and others. They just keep rolling in. And one, going back to 1955, Captain Midnight, 62 years ago, 1955, Captain Midnight, an image of North America with new coastlines. And here's the thing, gentlemen. From the moment that doctor held you upside down and smacked your bare bottom, everything you've seen, heard, tasted, or touched is part of your subconscious. Everything. Including these images that hundreds of millions of people have been seeing, looking at for the last 62 years. And they pick the winners. They don't pick the losers. Hunger Games, how many millions of people watch that? Superman? Godfather? They pick the winners to put these images in, and they've made these images part of our subconscious mind, gentlemen.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you pointed that out. John, we're at the end of our segment. I just lost my audio.
Okay.
We only have about ears.
A minute left, John. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I'm not sure when the last time you were on, but we'll have to make sure we do this more often.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah. Anything upcoming? Any big interviews or anything you want to promote before we have to run?
Oh, it's just Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 Central. I'm there every day.
Fantastic. Folks, John Moore. That's John Moore. Liberty, what's the website? TheLibertyMan.com?
TheLibertyMan.com.
Right. TheLibertyMan.com. Folks, again, catch his show, John Moore. 9 to 11.
Eastern time.
Each and every day. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You have a great evening. My friend.
Okay.
All right, we are coming up against the break. When we come back, we will be joined by our guests of the roundtable, Honeybee, who was on with us last week, Liz Croken, and Craig the Sawman Sawyer will be here all together to talk about a number of things. Any updates and thoughts on the Pedalgate investigation will be the topic of attention. We'll be right back.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate
navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.